This is episode 213, recorded June 30th, 2014.
Pardon me while I sit on the leather couch.
It's a squeaky couch.
Squeaky noises, sorry.
That's okay. You could be like a squeaky toy.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we have Wendell in Florida, Sean in North Carolina, Jeremiah in Michigan, and Tom in Provo.
Indeed we do. So the first one is Wendell.
Wendell. Every time he writes in, I just think of our goldfish, Wendell.
Well, they do have the same name.
They do. That's understandable. He was a lovely fish.
But this Wendell spells it with one L, and our other Wendell never spelled it at all. But if he had, it would have been with two, because we spell it with two.
Yes, that's true. Because, yeah. You know, fish, they don't have digits.
That's true.
Okay. So, Wendell says, thank you so much for taking the time to go over my lengthy email. I appreciate the feedback, and I will take your advice into consideration for my new tank build. I particularly like the idea of having shrimp in the sump to clean the rocks. Do you think that having baffles in the sump would prevent the shrimp from being able to travel from one compartment to the next?
Probably not. I mean, the adults are able to get through quite small areas, and the babies are incredibly tiny. So even if it were a generational sort of travel, it would probably eventually happen.
So baffles would not baffle the shrimp.
Huh? Exactly.
What is a baffle?
It's
obviously some kind of obstacle, but
yeah.
What merits the term baffle?
It's like a wall, essentially.
They just like to call
like,
it.
Like you remember a his illustration? It looked kind of like a very simple maze where you had a line there and a line there and a line there like that.
Okay.
Alternating around each one of those lines sticking out was a baffle.
Did we post his illustration?
Yes, we did.
Okay. That's good. Okay, so he goes on, I will probably use a combination of live aquatic plants, emergent plants, and lava rock to control for nitrates. In my never-ending research, I also came across something called a coil denitrator. Do you have any experience with these?
Do
you want me to finish this paragraph first?
Go ahead.
Okay. You mentioned before a long PVC pipe filled with lava rock to deplete oxygen from the water to create anaerobic and anoxic areas. The coil denitrator is a similar concept, except in that you run water through a long coil tube, which empties into a vessel containing something like bioballs. The aerobic bacteria builds up inside the coil and depletes the oxygen before it reaches the bioballs.
Yeah, I have heard and or read about them. I have never built one, but the concept seems, like he's saying, it's a similar concept, so it seems like it would probably work similarly. But I can't comment too much because I have never done it.
So if anybody else has...
Yeah, we'd love to hear about it if somebody else has.
And he finishes up, I am wonderfully excited about my new tank build, which officially began this past weekend. I'd be happy to send along some pictures if you were interested in seeing them. Thanks again for all your hard work.
We would love that. We would love you to send some pictures and or video of what you're doing. That would be very informative for us and for other aquariumaxers. So hopefully we'll be able to see those soon. And good luck as the build progresses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sean in North Carolina. He says, I still haven't done my experiment with the quarries, although all the equipment is collected now. Just got back from vacation and have another one coming up, so I won't really get going with it until the end of July. Remind us what the experiment with the quarries was.
Well, he wanted to see if he could get the particulates in his large planted tank down by removing the quarries so they're not digging around in the substrate.
Oh, that's right. Okay. He says, in any case, I was gone for a week and came back to crystal clear aquarium. Okay, now I'm thinking I might have been overfeeding, and there might have been a continuous bacterial bloom. Either that or my continuous changing of water and microfilter finally got all the really fine dirt filtered out. Ah, the mysteries of life. I want a microscope and centrifuge.
And, you know, one thing, too, is that if you didn't feed it all during that time, it could be that the quarries weren't finding a whole lot, so they weren't digging as much.
That's true.
It could be a combination of all of the things that you just mentioned. Yeah, kind of hard to say, but an interesting development all the same.
See what happens when you go on vacation next time.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeremiah in Michigan. Thanks for the feedback on the equipment questions and the kind words on my setup. I'll be sticking with the T8s for the time being. I definitely don't want to invite algae in by increasing light without also increasing other limiting factors such as CO2. I may still switch to a canister filter. It seems like I end up ripping leaves off the Italian valve when I take the sponge out for rinses.
And I think that's a sound idea. It wouldn't hurt anything to do that. Yeah, that's a good idea. Although, of course, you'd want to leave the sponge filter in there for long enough to make sure that the canister filter gets colonized by the bacteria, the proper bacteria.
Okay.
But, it should work well. Cool.
Okay, Tom and Provo. Russ, Kelly, and Aquarimaxers of the world. He says, first, I have another suggestion for the long-rumored, but as yet unseen, yes, indeed, Aquarimax t-shirts. I suggest, from Perth to Carnforth, the sun never sets on Aquarimax.
I love that. I really like that, too.
I think that's awesome.
Maybe we could put a map of the world. Maybe one of those projections that shows the whole globe flattened out, you know, like peeled like an orange kind of thing. And show Perth and Carnforth in like arrows and fish jumping or something. I don't know. I really like the idea. I think it's a great model.
It's hilarious.
It's really good.
Maybe we should like take, well, maybe that wouldn't be very nice though.
What?
I was just going to think maybe we should get a fish and make it look like Queen Victoria and put it underneath.
Make a reference to Victorian England and the Empire, British Empire.
Yeah, well, it's
like
already
that.
Referencing that, so.
Well, it is. That's true. The sun never sets, I guess.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
Okay. He says, I hope something happens soon. My Kingston Trio t-shirts are all wearing thin, and I'm waiting for Aquarimax to buy something new. We need to get working on that.
We really do.
Okay. My planted tank continues to do well. Have to prune with each water change. I have some fairly minor algae problems, but I'm adopting the attitude that green stuff is green stuff, and some of the algae is not all that different from my Java moss. It's true.
It's true. I mean, you really can't have a healthy... Well, I need to be careful with my words, but it is difficult to have a healthy planted aquarium and not find any algae in it at all. Perhaps impossible.
Yeah. I've also added two albino bristlies to the tank. At present, they are just over an inch each and relentlessly scurrying around the tank eating algae. I know that at some point I'll need to rehome them, but for now I have just been enjoying watching all that activity. In addition to the bristlies, I have added four diminutive nerite snails. Based on color, I believe they are horned nerites, but are too small to be showing much in the way of horns. And should anyone be interested, I've attached a short video of the tank. So, bristle... faces, though. What do we call them?
Bristle noses?
Bristle noses. Sorry, guys. My head is going to implode any second, and so I am not thinking properly
right
now.
It might be kind of a short episode.
Yes, my head hurts. They don't get very big, though. Why does he need to rehome them?
Well, I was wondering about that myself.
That's part of the reason that we keep them.
Bristle noses. It's true. They don't get very big. Now, if he has a male and a female...
Mm-hmm.
Then he would probably have to rehome one of them.
And why is that? Because they just won't leave each other alone?
Because
and
they'll start...
he starves to death because he sits in the little cone?
Well, more that he'd just get tons of little babies in there and he'd have to take the babies out all the time.
But don't you have to do some work for them to really do that? Like, they need a...
They need something like a tunnel or a cave. But if they find a place that's hidden in the plants that feels enough like a cave to them, they'll still reproduce in there. Like you have an Anubias plant that with big leaves, they can sometimes choose that.
But well, if he gets albino bristlies, though, I bet you could take them to Animal Ark and Orem.
Yeah,
and they'd probably take them. You could get one batch just for fun.
But then the same thing is that when you get a whole bunch of bristlies all together, they start chewing on the plants a little too much.
Oh, naughty fish.
Even, like, on the Anubias, when we were breeding bristlenoses a lot, they would, you know, take chunks out of the Anubias just because they're all chewing on stuff all the time. And I was feeding them quite heavily, but they'd still gnaw on things.
That's
so
true.
It could be, it's just for maximum... aesthetic appeal in an aquarium, a planted aquarium, if you have a lot of bristle noses, it, you know, it detracts from that.
Oh, okay.
But if he has two males, they will eventually get really angry and territorial and beat up on each other.
But if he has two females?
If he has two females, there shouldn't be much of a problem.
Okay.
But
they don't do one of those things where, like, if there's two females, one of them turns into a male, or if there's two males, one of them turns into a female.
You mean like clownfish?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't do that.
They don't do that. But usually one of the males will be dominant, all the rest will be
subordinate,
and they won't be as bristly, right?
Right. Right, but you don't want to keep two males in a 20-gallon.
Okay.
In a 55-gallon, you can get away with it if there are hiding places, and I've done it. And usually they pick different halves of the aquarium, and they won't really beat on each other much, so they'll chase each other away from the borders.
That's about it.
But in a 20, you couldn't really get away with it. You could probably do one bristle nose, though, of either sex in that tank, as long as it was getting enough food, and it would probably be fine in terms of the plants. But I probably not more than one, I guess. So he will have
unless
to at
least...
Unless
they're two both females.
Yeah, if they're two females, well, it depends on how much they chew on the plants.
Oh.
He might find that they're chewing on the plants a little too much, and he might find they're not. Because it's not like they attack and eat the plants like some fish would, but they're just nibbling, you know, looking for algae and stuff.
Just in the course of...
As they do that, if there's not enough space and, you know, surface area for them to nibble on...
Surface area!
They'll eventually nibble the plants enough that it'll start to cause, you know, some minor aesthetic issues.
Okay.
That's kind of how it is. So...
Oh, and the video was nice.
Yeah, it was.
I thought the tank looked really pretty.
Me too. It looked really nice. I love the Brazilian pennywort in there. It looks really nice. The Java ferns are coming along nicely. I like the way the hardscape looks too. Like the big piece of driftwood in the middle. And the fish.
I have a question.
Yes.
Hardscape is rocks and driftwood and things. Do they call the plants softscape?
Some people might. I don't know.
Or do they just call them plants?
That doesn't sound very familiar. I think they usually call them plants.
I'm sorry, that was a weird question.
The hardscape.
This is what happens when I have a headache. I say weird things.
I don't know. Some people might say
softscape.
Maybe
that's not that much different from what I usually say. I don't know.
No, that's a good, valid question. It is.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, hardware, software, hardscape,
softscape. And are the fish the
livescape?
I don't know. Yeah, but
scaly-scape?
I think they usually just say it's an aquascape altogether, and the hardscape is, you know, the things that don't change much once you set them in there, like the rocks and the driftwood stuff.
Oh, okay.
But that's a great question, actually.
But we'll put his little video up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nice. Really nice. You guys can go see
his
it.
His tetras are really popping. Mm-hmm. And his, I love the way how his harlequin wasboras are, you know, they're hanging out together, as they should be. That's a fun thing about that kind of fish. They look nice that
cool.
way.
This is my question. Was this the one that you had in your office, I think, Tom? Your office tank, or is this at home? Because didn't he have a tank in his office?
I think he did. I can't remember for sure now. But it's the tank that he has shown us. We've seen various iterations of it.
Right.
And now is the flourishing CO2-enhanced planted version. It looks really good.
The Shangri-La version.
So, yeah, so... I am curious to see what you think about rehoming the, you know, the bristlies, if you were just thinking because they'd eventually get too big, or for some of the reasons we talked about, or what. And one thing that I've heard, I don't know if this is true, and it seems to be borne out in my experience as well, that the albino bristlenoses actually grow more slowly than the just normally pigmented versions.
Hmm. So maybe you won't have to do it as fast.
Maybe it won't be quite as fast. I don't know that that's always true, but it seems to be true in my experience and in the experience of some others, at least. So, yeah, I'd be curious to see how that goes on.
Okay, and in the interest of...
Yeah, survival.
Survival and not having my brains explode all over the podcast.
Yeah.
I think we'll call it a night.
Yep, we'd best bid you all... farewell, and may the fish
be with you.